Hello, my name is Daniel Nenni, founder of SemiWiki, the open forum for semiconductor professionals. Welcome to the Semiconductor Insiders podcast series. If you have a topic you'd like us to cover, please post it on semiwiki.com and we'll get right to it. My guest today is Scott Best, technical director at Rambus. His research areas are memory architectures, 3D packaging, and security processors. Scott joined Rambus in 1998 and has served in many and varied technical roles. He has become one of the most prolific inventors in the company's history over the course of his career at Rambus. He is a named inventor on over 200 patents worldwide. Welcome to the podcast, Scott.
Thank you very much. Good to be here.
So the question I usually start with the guests is, how did you first get started in semiconductors? Do you have a story you can share?
The creation myth, yes. Started off life out in the Boston area, and I'm particularly attuned to that right now, just given the weather situation. And I was tired of New England and Boston area winters, put in my work, 18 years of snow shoveling, lifetime dose. And so I've heard about this thing called Silicon Valley. So I started working my way westward. So I went to school, 6 hours west by car out of the Boston area, and ended up taking a job, 6 hours by flight west of the Boston area. So ended up in California, land of misfit toys, and been in Silicon Valley ever since.
Yeah. One of the coldest winters I ever experienced was in Boston. So I get it. So what brought you to Rambus?
What brought me to Rambus? Well, at the time when I first heard about Rambus, I was working at National Semiconductor. One of the stalwart foundational companies of the Valley, and several of my coworkers had gone to this thing called a startup, which back in the, late 80s, early 90s was not that was not perceived as a safe or sane career path, at least with the people that I worked with. It was much more unusual then than it is now. And they'd gone to this thing called a startup. And of course, they just kept making more and more noise and, in a very successful sense. And I reached out to some of my colleagues that were there because my wife was pregnant with our daughter at the time. Didn't know she was going to be my daughter at the time, but she was pregnant at the time. And Rambus's headquarters were physically down the street from me. I really should have walked to work a lot more often than I actually did back in those days. So I reached out to some friends, and sure enough, they needed some high performance mixed signal circuit designers. So I took that gig down the street, and that daughter is now in graduate school. So I've been there, an entire person's time of being at Rambus.
Yeah. So I saw the recent Quantum Safe Engine press release. Can you tell us more about that?
Sure. So, I'm sure as you know, and your listeners know, there is this impending doom on the horizon, something known as a cryptographically relevant quantum computer. And it's a terrifying name. I like to joke about, as worried as people are about ChatGPT, if you go into ChatGPT and ask it what it's worried about quantum resistant quantum computers, or cryptographically relevant quantum computers. And I jokingly say that because, the entirety of the internet, the entirety of having microelectronics with receiving safe and reliable firmware updates, municipal health safety systems, functioning ATMs and power systems, right? All of that is strangely somehow dependent on public key cryptography. And the problem with a cryptographically relevant quantum computer is that the math behind that public key cryptography falls over. And the mathematicians have already figured out algorithms are already developed and ready to execute as soon as the number of qubits is large enough that it can actually run these algorithms before they decohere into their quantum components. So these computers are being built now. They're not being built for that, right? There's a lot of excellent things we get to explore with quantum computers. There's protein folding for drug research. There's actually accurate weather forecasting, which would be nice. And a lot of those systems are going to do, you know, fantastically well with these emergent quantum computers. But one of the accidental downsides is that public key cryptography as we know it today, RSA, elliptic curve, they fall over and stop working. And in fact, they can be factored and reversed. So now, not only would your adversary be able to read, you know, your Gmail web browser connection, right? They could actually record it today and then play it back in 10 years on one of these computers and figure out what the key material was and now read the plain text of your exchange. That's kind of bad, but what they could also do is factor what the signing keys are for all of those firmware updates. So phones, computers, operating systems everywhere, all of them can now have adversarial release of firmware updates that could, of course, insert malicious functionality or just be bricked entirely. So it's a very dangerous situation coming when those computers exist. So about 6 years ago, the cryptographic community started forming this standardizations, started organizing their R&D of saying we need to have quantum safe crypto replace the entire usage of the internet, the entire usage throughout authentic firmware, signature verifications, right? All of that has to be replaced. And we got about 10 years to do it before those computers. So there's a race. There's a race of how long will it take you to prevent this computational apocalypse, and how long until the computers are actually available to perform those computations, right? So that's what's happening. And quite recently, I think it was this year, they're close now, NIST, the National Institute of Standards in the US and FIPS, they're getting very close to finalizing the standards of saying, okay, if you're going to, you know, establish a secure socket layer connection from a browser to a website, you need to use this key exchange mechanism that's quantum resistant, and it's called Kyber. And if you're going to sign firmware, you could use this algorithm called Dilithium. And they're both public key algorithms, and they're both based on a type of math that's not terrifically complicated, but it's just very large and complicated in its largeness and has been studied for more than 100 years of trying to solve these intractable problems in module lattices, which are similar conceptually to the polynomials we all worked with in middle school, but on a much larger, much more complicated scale. So module lattice cryptography is coming with these new standards. We're expecting the final standards at the end of this year, which probably means early next year. And companies like Rambus, we have now announced hardware accelerated support for both Kyber and Dilithium in our security processor products. Phew, long answer, but that's what we're doing and why we're doing it.
Yeah, no, I get it. But let's talk a little bit more detail. Why are quantum safe solutions such as QSE, your product, important?
Right. It's the race of being able to have those quantum safe algorithms in place and, you know, percolated throughout the world to replace internet infrastructure as we know it today for every cell phone that's, you know, every internet connected cell phone, which is on the order of billions, all of the services, all of the any computer to computer communications that's happening. They need to update the security of those protocols to quantum safe pieces. So I think it's safe to say all technology leadership companies, I mean, you go to these conferences, you see all of the brand names that you would expect, all of the Fortune 500s are there working to understand what do I need to do as a company to advance the adoption of these standards. So Rambus is doing our part. These are our products that are going to accelerate these protocols for, you know, embedded security processors. We're going to have standalone versions to accelerate these protocols so that they can be more, you know, hardware is more tamper resistant than software. So for more secure hardware accelerated solutions, that's the nature of this product and why we're doing it.
Oh, interesting. So who are your first line of target customers and what are some of the applications for this product?
Right. First line of customers are, I would put it in two categories. One is in the data center space where you have cloud-based services that are making connectivity to client software. So smartphones are connecting to it, web browsers are connecting to it, everything's connecting to something in the cloud. And you need to accelerate those. You need to accelerate the adoption of quantum safe key exchange algorithms so that you can have that secure sockets layer, but not rely on pre-quantum, the existing technologies of RSA and elliptic curve, that it's going to be a combination of RSA, elliptic curve, and Kyber. It's similarly on the, that doesn't really cover over to the firmware side, but that's when I shift and say, in addition to cloud providers, there's also a strong interest in this in US and allied defense operations, where there's a lot of microelectronics that are, you know, support the warfighter in very difficult operations. And in those, you know, there are in fact nation state adversaries that are, you know, seeking to harm US and allied warfighters. The microelectronics and those components that they're using to achieve mission success do require also, you know, quantum safe firmware updates for those systems, quantum safe firmware verifications. So those are two principal markets that we're focusing the release of this technology towards.
What are some of the key features of QSE?
So QSE as part of our product, our quantum safe encryption engine, the key features of that are its hardware level support for the two indelible functions of the emerging standards. One of those features is, one of those indelible functions is SHA-3, specific protocol used for digest operations, obviously very similar to SHA-2 conceptually. And the other part is the number theoretic transform, which is used to solve this module lattice problems associated with lattice-based cryptography. So the NTT engine and the SHA-3 engine are indelible hardware cores that are part of our QSE product. And then there is all of the control plane software that handles the parameters and order of operations of these overall protocols. And that's going to be occurring in the software stack that runs within our security processor. So I would describe those pieces as being the essential features of our QSE solution. So it's a bit of a hybrid approach of getting these protocols built and getting them done quickly.
Right. Yeah, that makes sense. What is the availability of this product and when does Rambus expect shipments to begin?
Samples are already happening now and we've GA'd, so that's sort of announced our general availability of the product just earlier this week. In fact, we've been working on these pieces for about 6 months. And how we chose to do it at first, because it's a little, we're a little over the tips of our skis here in that we're releasing a solution for a protocol that isn't quite finalized in the standardization. So there might still be some small updates to the protocols before the finalization. So what we chose to do was to, rather than wait for the standardization to complete, we built in hardware the indelible portions of those protocols. So we know they're going to use a lot of, you know, module lattice cryptography. We know that they're going to use SHA-3 as a digest mechanism. So we're like, okay, we know we need to build a SHA-3 hardware accelerator, a tamper resistant SHA-3 hardware accelerator. We know we need a tamper resistant number theoretic transform, which is used to solve these lattice problems in linear time. And we're like, okay, we know we need these new hardware blocks. The parts of the protocol that are malleable or more malleable, I sort of refer to as being on the control plane. And the control plane stuff is all going to be happening in software in our initial solution. And the place that happens in software is in our flagship security processor product, which we call the Crypto Manager Root of Trust. That's our security processor. It runs a full Linux stack on a RISC-V core. That's where we're going to be running the control plane stuff in software, executing out of that environment, where the actual hardware acceleration is happening, you know, specifically for the SHA-3 and the NTT core. So it's a hybrid solution in our initial launch. It gets the product out there as soon as possible, even slightly ahead of where the standards are. Once the standards finalize, we're then going to, of course, have fully integrated hardware solutions. But we don't expect to actually see that for another couple of months.
So along with the Rambus Quantum Safe Engine, Rambus announced a root of trust IP with Quantum Safe Cryptography and FPGA targeted security IP earlier this year. So how do you expect the industry's interest in quantum safe products to evolve and change over the years to come?
Well, as you know, as we talked about earlier, we have wall clock about 7 to 8 years. That works. Generally, there's about every conference, they sort of take a survey. How soon do the conference goers feel that a cryptographically relevant quantum computer is going to exist in the world? And then they average it all together and they show what the confidence is, because all of the attendees, of course, are really well versed in this stuff and they study what the papers that are showed, that are being published. There was just an announcement this week in Nature about a new error correction approach, and it took, what, there's like 250 physical qubits are being reduced down to about 40 logical qubits. Anyways, it's an interesting paper, this new error correction approach. It might be scalable, but you know, it has to be scalable up to about 4,000 logical qubits before you have anything cryptographically relevant. So if you take all these people and they put their, you know, a finger on a calendar, we have about 7 years. It's around 2030 with 85% confidence that such a computer is going to exist. So we have about 7 years to update the world's infrastructure. So we perceive that we're at the very earliest stages of, you know, quantum safe encryption adoption is happening now. It's very much going to be strongly continue over the next 7 years. And what you're trying to get up to is certainly 90% plus coverage of systems worldwide over the next 7 years. So it's a bit of a race. It's a Herculean lift. But, you know, in my impression and in my experience, the community is doing exactly the right things. All of the standards bodies are working on this. All of the conferences are, you know, filled to standing room only. Everybody that's working in this cryptographic space is to some degree focusing on this problem, and the technology leaders are leading. So I think we're going to hit that over the next 7 years.
That's good to know. You know, and I certainly have my doubts because we seem to be more reactive than proactive in this world, but hopefully that's the case. You know, I'm concerned about automotive, to be honest with you. You know, automotive is becoming highly automated and highly compute intensive and highly AI specific. So I think there are some serious security issues there that will affect everybody personally up close, right?
Yes. And they are leaders in security policies and security standardization and safety policy standardization. They are leaders. They have some of the most rigorous assessments of SOC security. And, you know, Rambus made a conscious decision 2-3 years ago to specifically staff up in this regard and focus on this as an area of expertise. And it's been great. It's been great working with these companies and seeing what their commitment and their investment is, because they're incredibly safety conscious. You know, if only all commercial customers took security as seriously as automotive did, it would be a substantially more secure world.
And that's good to hear. Thank you for the conversation, Scott. Hopefully we can get an update next year.
Excellent. Looking forward to it. Thanks for the invite.
That concludes our podcast. Thank you all for listening and have a great day.